you guys would pray with me real quick before we go into this service. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Lord Jesus, open our hearts today. God, that your word will be planted like a seed, God, that will grow and flourish in our lives, God. That we will have a better relationship with you. That we will feel your presence and your love more than we've ever felt before, God. We worship you, we praise you, and everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brian, will you hit those lights for me right over there? Thank you so much. All right, give it up for the singers and the musicians. Get up for Zane, who's going to be preaching with me tonight. Super excited about that. I never had like someone beside me preaching while I'm preaching. This is good. We're going to have a good time tonight. And we've got a good subject that I'm excited to be bringing to the table today. We already talked about right before they got up here and saying that this is the month of prayer and fasting. So I hope you have found time with God for prayer and fasting this month. And guess what? If you haven't, the month's not over yet.
That's right.
You still got like a good, like a good week or two. You can squeeze one day in there, guys. You can squeeze one meal in there. You can squeeze a couple prayers in there, but it will benefit your life. Has anybody who has fasted and prayed like really felt something different in the past month? I know I'm not by myself here, but yeah, there's been something powerful about prayer and fasting. There's something powerful about getting excited about serving Jesus and taking seriously our walk with God, our relationship. Yes.
One thing
this
month that I kind of started reading Bible journaling.
Nice.
And like when I do all this kind of stuff, it makes me feel more spiritual.
Man, that's so good. That's so good.
What is Bible
journaling? Like reading your Bible and keeping a journal on what you read from your Bible and what it means to you and what you think about. Kind of like a lot with your dad.
Yeah, because when God speaks to you, then you get to write it down.
Guys, I'm telling you what. If there's anything, yeah, it makes lots of. If there's anything that I achieve as a youth pastor, I hope it's that I encourage you guys to read your Bible. Because in all reality, if everything else in the whole earth falls away, everything you really need is in that book. If you were on a deserted island all by yourself and all you had was a Bible, you're okay. Like, you're going to be saved. You're going to be just fine. Jesus is coming back soon. You're going to be all right. But it's important. So I'm going to push for that prayer, fasting, read your Bible.
No lie, beginning of February when it started, I was like, all right, God, I've got to do better. Got to do so much better. And I just decided to do the one-year Bible. But I pulled it out, and now I'm addicted. Now I'm like 3 days ahead.
Yes.
Because you start getting the wisdom.
One-year Bibles are pretty cool. Does anybody know what? Has anybody never heard of a one-year Bible?
What?
No, no one wants to.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. A one-year Bible is like I actually have a printed one too. Yeah. Like, but what a one-year Bible is it kind of breaks up the entire Bible by date of every day of the year. So, like, you can go through every date and just read. It's like one passage, one chapter from the Old Testament, one chapter from the New, a Psalms and a Proverb.
Yeah,
but throughout the whole year, as long as you read, like, 2 pages a day, you get through your whole Bible in a year. So that's a really cool thing. And if you have trouble staying committed to reading the Bible, that might be your answer, a one-year Bible.
Yeah.
So let's get to the first slide. Zane, why don't you come over here? You're going to be my Bible reader for me. Go ahead, kick that off.
Yes, sir. First Thessalonians 5:17, New Living Translation.
Yep.
New Living Translation.
You can call it NLT for short.
NLT.
We know what you're talking about.
Never stop praying.
NLT. Never stop praying. Who's ever heard the scripture before? Anybody heard this? Nance heard it? A couple people, maybe? Okay. Never stop praying. So, whenever someone asks you if you've been praying enough, like the Bible tells you, never stop praying. Why does the Bible tell us to never stop praying? Does anybody know? Anybody got an idea why the Bible would tell us to never stop praying? Saul. Yes, that is a very good answer.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Prayer keeps your connection with God flowing.
Prayer keeps your connection with God flowing. Yes. So why does the Bible go out of its way to tell you to never stop praying? Any of you guys got one answer for me? Huh? What do you think? Why does the Bible say never stop praying?
You got this.
What you got, girls?
Come on. Give me some.
He's praying with you. You got this. I like that.
Right. It's super important. That's why the Bible says it. It tells us to never stop praying because it is the foundation of everything that we believe in. Like, who thinks that you could be in a relationship with somebody, like, almost close to marriage and never have talked to them?
Yep.
Say, you're preaching with me. Say, no, impossible. But for real, you could never be in a relationship with someone that you never talked to. And that includes typing, texting, and whatever other technology they're going to bring into dating in the next 10 years.
VR world.
But all of it still requires communication. Because without that communication, you're not in a relationship, you don't know the person, and you never have. So that's why prayer is vitally important. However, how many of you guys, man, we could be honest, because I'm going to be honest. How many of you guys, like me, have gotten to a point in your life where you thought, why am I praying? Like, this is not really going anywhere. Come on, guys, will you be honest?
To be honest.
I've done it. I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. But we've all been to a point where we're like, why am I praying? Why do we get that way? Man, why do you get that way? One reason. There's a bunch.
Because the obvious things are happening for me.
Bingo. Nail on the head.
Yep.
Why do I feel like there's no point in praying? Because my prayers aren't getting answered, guys. So I feel like I'm bouncing a prayer off a brick wall and it's just coming right back to me. So it leaves me thinking and discouraged, and the enemy jumps right on top of that. Like, he loves that. He's like, you're right. Don't you ever pray again. Prayer's not helping you at all, guys. There is no God.
He's wrong.
Thank you, Zach. I was waiting for that one. You got my back, homie? Yes. The enemy is a liar, and he wants to destroy it. We talked about positive fasting last week because the enemy wants to stop you from doing that. It wasn't last week, Valentine's Day party, week before. But the last time we were here and we had service, I talked about positive fasting because the enemy wants to destroy your fasting. He doesn't want you using the tool that God's given you to improve your life. He definitely don't want you using the tool that's going to be the basis for your entire relationship with him. I didn't stop because of that. Everybody's like, why do you stop? Like, dramatic pause, my bad. But for real, like, he doesn't want you using the most important thing. The reason why I did stop, I'll let you guys know, is because I realized that I think I talked about fasting the following week before that. Because last week I talked about healing. I talked about forgiveness. And guess what? The enemy didn't like that either. Because he doesn't want us to forgive things. Because guess what, guys? We talked about this a little bit in the young adults class, and I loved it. Satan can't stop the blood of Jesus, right?
Right.
You got the blood of Jesus in your life. He's going to forgive you. He's going to wash you. He's going to give you grace. And the enemy does not like that. And he hates the fact that he cannot stop the blood of Christ. But guess what the enemy figured out?
Yeah.
There is a way to stop the blood of Christ. Oh, is Dan a pagan? How dare he say that? I'm sorry. I'm going to say it because the Bible says it, guys. The Bible says if you don't forgive your brother or sister,
God can't forgive you.
Then the blood of Jesus isn't even working in your life.
Right.
That's what it says. So the only thing that can stop the blood of Jesus from forgiving every one of your sins is you holding a grudge against somebody.
Yeah.
Is you not allowing somebody else to make mistakes like you've made and God's forgiven you for. So he prevents that.
Right.
So the enemy does not like what Pineview Youth is doing around here, does he?
That's all right.
Yes.
Amen.
We don't care. Matter of fact, if the enemy did like what I was doing, I'd probably have to rethink what I'm doing. But since he doesn't like it, I think I'm on a good path. And we're going to continue down that path because I'd like to talk to everybody in this room about how to pray unstoppable. Go to the next slide for me. Unstoppable prayer. Not just praying without stopping. I'm talking about unstoppable prayer. Is there prayers that have to be answered every time? No? You don't think? Good. You guys are my candidates. I'm going to change your mind today. Because I believe the Bible teaches, and we're going to look at it together, so I'm not just saying that on my own here. But I believe that there are prayers that are unstoppable. There are prayers that the enemy can't stop for your life. There are certain things. All right, like for one, at the name of Jesus, every demon trembles, right? So when I say every evil spirit in this room has to get out in the name of Jesus Christ, like it happens. Like it has to happen.
Amen.
Because the word of God says so. Right. So I know that that one prayer of me saying, I bind every unclean spirit in this room, cast it out in Jesus' name, has to happen because the Bible says so. And the Bible's never wrong. So there are some prayers that are unstoppable.
Yeah.
But I don't want you just to take my word for it. Take Jesus' word for it, right? He's God. He's the Lamb prepared before the foundation of the earth, right? He was God wrapped in flesh, I believe the Bible says. The full Godhead dwelled in him. So I'm not going to argue with him, right? Nobody should argue with him. So let's go see what Jesus says. Next slide. Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Matthew is a cool book, guys. It gives us a good account and eyewitness of Jesus. And in Matthew, you'll see Jesus teaching a lot about how we should be behaving as Christians. So Zane, why don't you start off reading that for me? Verse number 5.
Verse number 5.
When I cut you off, just stop and then pick back up in a minute, all right? I'm jumping. I'm going to cut you off.
When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. This is all the reward they will ever get.
Okay, so first thing Jesus tells us is how not to pray. Let me get this straight right off the bat, guys. Do not be like a hypocrite. So we do not want to pray like a hypocrite. I don't want to pray in a big street corner where everybody can see me. My prayer is not about getting me attention. It's not about me looking like I'm holier than thou. If you're praying that way, guess what? Your prayer is failing. That is not unstoppable prayer. That is very easily stoppable. So, next slide. That's all the reward they're going to get. Go on.
6. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you.
So he says, go away by yourself and pray. Does that mean I can't pray in church? Like, no, that's not what Jesus was meaning. Thank you. I love him up here preaching with you. You might not ever get down, bro. Like, I might make you do this every week from now on.
I
won't either. But so it's not about where you go. Jesus is saying that this is something personal between you and your Father. If your prayers are not personal between you and your Father, then they're stoppable. The enemy can stop it. The enemy knows that you're just praying because you want people to think you're good and you're some holy guy. And you're just praying because you want benefits in life even. And you're doing things for other reasons, but he's very easy to stop that because you're not praying according to God's will. But here he says, when you pray privately, that your heavenly Father who sees everything will reward you. So doesn't that make it unstoppable?
Right.
He's telling you, like, if you're praying the right way, your heavenly Father who sees and knows everything will reward you for that. He's going to give you the answer to your prayers when you're asking in the right way. But you can't be like a hypocrite. You can't be praying just so everybody thinks you're good. You can't be doing it in the wrong way. We need to be praying in a way that is unstoppable. Yeah. Keep going.
When you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles do.
Okay, so we don't want to pray like a Gentile either. We don't want to pray like a Gentile. Because who was a Gentile? Who was a Gentile? Does anybody know who the Gentiles were? Yes.
Gentiles were anybody but Jews.
Yes.
You got that.
They were the people who were not God's chosen people. They were people who did not know God. Oh, man, that's good right there, guys. Yeah. So when I pray, I don't pray like someone who doesn't know Jesus.
Right.
I don't pray like a pagan who doesn't have a relationship with him. Guess what? Even if you think Jesus doesn't know you, like, he knows you better than you think.
Right.
Like, he's able to have a conversation with you on a level. You don't have to feel silly in front of Jesus because he already knows how you are.
He knows you more than you know yourself.
Exactly. So you can feel that liberty to pray to somebody who already knows you. You're not praying like a pagan who don't know you. You're praying like a Christian who is a child of God. Somebody, and Jesus is really going to break that down here in a second. Next slide.
They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again.
Oh, you hear that?
He's like, they think their prayers are going to get answered just because they're saying it over and over and over. So that also, what were you going to say, babe? Oh, I thought you were adding to it. $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. No, it doesn't work that way, guys. It's not just simply about saying something over and over and over. Like, it's not about how many times you repeat your words. That's not going to make it more unstoppable. Exactly. If I pray for $1 million every single day, it's not going to make God answer it. No, I'm not praying in the right way. How many people have gotten offended because I've been praying about this for 6 years and God hasn't answered my prayer? Like, we just talked about that in the beginning. Like, that's why a lot of people are like, man, I'm giving up on this praying thing. Because every time I pray, God don't answer my prayers. Well, guess what? It's not about how much you pray.
It's about whether he needs you.
It's about praying the right way. Yeah. It's not about how much you pray. It's not about all the words that you say. There's been prayers that have been answered that are one word. Jesus. Jesus. And all of a sudden the prayer is answered. Like, he doesn't need you to explain. He doesn't need you to go in there in words, but he needs you to pray in a certain way so that your prayers will be unstoppable.
That kind of reminds me of the moment when there was like a Roman, not soldier, but like not a guard either, but he has a servant that's sick.
I said, preach with me, not for me. Go ahead.
No, I'm joking. Go ahead. No, seriously, go ahead.
He has a servant that's sick. And
listen
God
to this, guys.
And he has Jesus says, take me to your servant, and he says, well, no, because whatever you say will be so. Right. And so he says it is so.
He said, I understand authority. He's like, I'm a Roman soldier, I understand authority. He's like, all you gotta do is say go, and it's gonna be done. Because that's how I deal with my soldiers.
Yep.
So he instantly understood. That is such a good analogy.
Good.
Like, again, thank you for preaching with me today. But that's the truth. That's how it is with God. It's not about saying the right words. It's not about begging him the right way. It's about making sure, because we're in a covenant with God, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody understand what a covenant really means? Like, we were in Young Adults last week. We were talking about, oh, you weren't here.
You weren't.
I passed you. But we were in Young Adults, and we were talking about, because Pastor just preached about vows, right? So we were talking about the difference between a vow and a covenant. Has anybody got an idea on what that actually means? What is the difference between a vow and a covenant? Go ahead, Saul. What you got? Okay. He slipped it right back down. He's like, never mind. Anybody got an idea?
Is it a difference between like religion and not? Like a vow is to God and a...
Huh? These are good guests. As a matter of fact, at the Young Adults, I kind of like, I didn't have an answer, so I kind of like spoke off my head like what I thought it was, and that was part of the discussion. Then I got out to eat with Pastor this morning, and he was like, he confirmed it. I was like, good, yes. So the difference between a vow and a covenant, a vow is you saying, I'll do this for you, God, if you do this for me. And it doesn't matter which way you do it. Like if I say, all right, God, you do this, and then I'll do this. Or if I say, I'll do this, and then you do that. But it's still a vow because it's coming from me. A covenant is when God says, if you do this, I'll do this. That's a big difference. Because for one, a covenant, like that's our agreement with God. So that's a little bit different than our vows. But here's the other thing that makes a big difference is we're human. And we're not always faithful. So we don't keep our vows. So when I make a vow to God, I'm like, and that's why Pastor just preached about it last Sunday, about keeping your vows to God. Because it is important, and God does reward us when we come through with our vows. But there's a little bit different than when God says, you do this, and I'll do this. God had a covenant with Abraham, right?
Right.
He told Abraham, Abraham, you do this, and I'll do this. You circumcise your males, you live for me, and I'll be your God. And everybody who blesses you will be blessed, and everybody who curses you will be cursed.
Right.
But these are part of my covenant with you. So because Abraham did the things in the covenant, he got the blessings that were promised. It's the same way in our Bible today. In the New Testament, it works the same way. We're under the new covenant. We're not under no covenant. We're under a new covenant.
Right.
So we still have this covenant with Jesus. And if we obey, we love him. If you don't love me, you won't obey me.
But if we obey, then we are in this covenant with him. And this is how he's telling us, this is how I want you to pray, guys.
Right.
Like, this is how I want you to pray. Because if you pray this way, I'm contractually obligated to oblige you.
Yeah.
Because you've made this agreement with me. And this is Jesus himself up here talking. So this is Jesus again confirming with you. If you pray this way, this is how your prayers will be unstoppable. Yes, sir.
Bow,
like you promised. Bow, yes. Go ahead. Let's read this next scripture.
We gotta go back a slide because we skipped.
Oh, go back one slide, will you?
Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you are, what you need, even before you ask him.
So that goes right back to what you were talking about with the Roman soldier. He already knows our needs. So it's not even about wording your prayers correctly. Like, again, if I word it, Lord, I would love your gracious, glorious blessing of $1 million.
I would love a lot of
it. That doesn't make my prayer of give me $1 million any better. It's not about how you're wording it. It's not about how you put it. It's about following the format that Jesus gave us and how we should pray. So let's see how that format goes with the next slide.
Pray like this.
Pray like this.
Our Father in heaven.
Wait, hold on. That's what Jesus is telling them, right? Jesus is like, okay, now let's get down to it. I just told you a bunch of silly stuff you don't want to do. You don't want to be like the I almost said pagans, but it was hypocrites. You don't want to be like the Gentiles. You don't want to pray like these things. But this is how I want you to pray, guys. So isn't that important, right? When we're praying, we're praying to have a relationship with who?
Jesus.
Yes. So it's kind of important that we listen to how he wants it done, right?
Yep.
So let's see what Jesus tells us. This is how we should pray. I'm going to stop you a lot in this, but get ready. Go ahead.
Our Father in heaven.
Our Father who art in heaven. We're going to stop right there. First and foremost, he's like, before we even get any further, I want to address one thing. Who are you praying to? Who are you praying to? If you start your prayer with, oh, Buddha, you've got a problem. According to the Bible. Amen. Not according to Dan Tackett, according to the Bible. But it's important to know who I'm addressing to this prayer. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm praying to the Heavenly Father. But more importantly, I think there's a reason why he's called our Heavenly Father, right? Like Jesus is pointing this out right now. He's like, you guys, when you're beginning your prayer, this should be like you sitting on your dad's knee and having a conversation with your dad. Now, Jesus is a lot better dad than some people on this earth experience. So I always say things like this, and I take it for granted because I have the best parents in the entire world, even if you guys disagree. I love my mom and dad. They're amazing people. They really are. They've always been amazing to me in my life. So some people don't have that good father. So when I talk about my relationship sitting on my dad's knee, some people might be like, that wasn't a good thing, Dan. But our Heavenly Father is the best example of a father that there ever could be.
Amen.
So even if your father isn't the greatest, or you didn't have a father, or you have a good father, we're still talking about a Heavenly Father who far exceeds that. So your best concept of an amazing father is who you should be thinking when you're starting your prayer. You're talking to somebody who loves you, that would die for you, that wants the best for you, that wants to make sure you got everything you need to live a happy and healthy life. Guys, I never understood God as good as I do now until I became a father. I never knew what it was like to love something uncontrollably. Like, I'm sorry, maybe. And I was a bad person. But I never knew what it was like to love something uncontrollably. Like, even with my son, when you guys see me getting him in trouble around here, guess what? I love him to death. Like, I love that boy to death. I'll do anything for my boys. But, and even me, I'm still an earthly father, guys. I don't love like Jesus loves. But we should know this when we come to him in prayer. We should know that this is how he feels about me. Zane was praying for his cat a couple weeks ago because his cat was bleeding everywhere, right? It finally got better?
Oh, yeah. It got better. Yes. You want to know why? Because of God.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. For real. But we stopped in youth and we prayed for his cat.
Yeah. So, just a question.
Yeah.
The Father is our Father, right?
Oh, yeah.
Would the Son, Jesus Christ, be our Father, too?
Yes.
He's his own grandpa, if you look at it right. Technically, he's his own grandpa. You want to break it down? Well, yeah. But that is more because of conceptual, I agree. Because if you really want to break it down, who overshadowed Mary? The Holy Spirit. Right? So is the Holy Spirit the Father? Well, because they're all one, guys. Let's get past it. They're all one, wrapped up in one flesh.
Holy,
there we go. Yes, yes, yes. Rest. I mean, if you're struggling with that, guys, guess what? People do struggle with that. If you're struggling with it, read the book of John, like, yeah, intently. Read the book of John and see what he says. Because I'll tell you what.
If you are struggling, Dan would love to go out and...
Yeah, yeah, we can have a talk. We can get into it. I would love that. Yes. Amen. There you go. There you go. What were we talking about right there, though? Heavenly Father. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Keep going with that.
May your name be kept holy.
Okay, so that's important, right? May your name be kept holy. So the first thing he starts off with is, hold on, you're God, you're my Father. Like, this is important that I know who you are and I know who I'm praying to. Guys, guess what? If we don't pray in the name of Jesus, how much power does it have?
None.
Why?
Because
that was the name under heaven whereby you must be saved. So that's why I pray in the name of Jesus. Now, do I think there's any difference between Jesus and Father?
No.
No, I can start my prayer off with Heavenly Father just like Jesus does. But at the end of the day, there's only one name that every knee is going to bow to and every tongue is going to confess that is Lord of lords and God of God. So it's important that we keep that in our mind. Yeah, we want to have unstoppable prayer, right? I'm going to tell you right now, you will not have unstoppable prayer if you do not invoke the name of Jesus. Guys, this is a lesson that I wish I learned a lot younger in my life, guys. If you're having bad thoughts, you're having bad dreams, it has to flee at the name of Jesus. How many times I haven't invoked that? How many times, like, I've been dealing with a bad situation and it's like the enemy clouds my mind to where I don't just say in Jesus' name? Like, in Jesus' name, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Like, we need to do that. I plead the blood over this in Jesus' name. Like, there's so many spiritual attacks that we go through because we're not using this. We're not using this. We're not looking at the fact his name is holy.
Right.
I'm not looking at the fact he's holy. If I'm praying and I'm thinking this is just some dude who's got the same power I got, then I'm not praying correctly. Because Jesus wanted me to pray in a way where I understood that who I'm praying to is holy.
Right.
Like, he's above all. Keep going.
May your kingdom come soon.
Keep going a little bit more.
May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, so here's an important one. Here's an important one. Because this is Jesus letting us know. If we're not praying according to his kingdom, it's not unstoppable. If I'm not praying according to the will of God, it's not unstoppable. But if I'm praying that God's kingdom comes and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then my prayers become unstoppable because I'm praying in unison with Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Oh my God, that's powerful, right? Where two or three are gathered together. When I'm praying in his will, I'm praying powerfully because it's what he has. Now, let me tell you another thing. I just said a few minutes ago that I want to make sure the enemy doesn't help us forget. It's God's will that you have a blessed life. It's God's will that you have a wonderful life. It's the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life.
Yep.
So praying that God blesses my life isn't praying against God's will. Because he loves me, he's my Father, he's holy, he wants me to have a blessed life. So if I'm praying for him to give me some new J's, he cares about that. If we're praying about Zane's cat to get better, he cares about that. Why? Because he loves Zane. Because he loves me wearing new Nikes. He likes the way I feel when I get my feet in them. But he does. He cares about each and every one of you guys. And the enemy really wants you not to believe that. He wants you to not put any faith behind what you pray. Because you know what? Jesus doesn't really care if you get your license and get a car. Well, Jesus does care if you get your license and get a car.
He wants you to feel like you're not worth anything.
Because guess what? How do I know that? Because I'm a bad earthly parent, and I want my son to get his license and have a car. Right? I want my kids to experience the best things in life. And if I want... if I want my kids to experience the best things in life and I'm just an earthly father, how much more your heavenly father? If I ask for a stone, he ain't gonna give me a scorpion. Right? If I ask for bread, he's not going to give me a snake. Like the Bible says, we're going to make sure that you know I love you.
Yeah.
Next scripture.
Give us today the food we need.
You see, I started talking about food right away. The scripture's right up on it.
And forgive us of our sins as we have forgotten those who sin against us.
Okay, hold on one second there. Give us this day our food that we need. That's important, right? You know what that tells me? Because what is food? Food is our substance. Food is what we live on. There's so many times that I'm praying to God about an Xbox One, and guess what? I don't need an Xbox One to live. I'd like one. Series X now, right? I'm like 10 generations behind, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah. But anyways, Jesus doesn't care if I have the newest console, right? That's not like, my son will tell me too, like, Dad, I need this. I'm like, you don't need it. Like, you got air, food, shelter, and fire. That's all you need. The four elements of life. Bear Grylls taught me that.
Don't forget God.
No, but for real, like, he's talking about needs. Now, there are people in this world who need food. Guess what? We answered a prayer of a beautiful young lady in Colombia who needed food, guys, because she was praying about that.
Yeah.
And it was in the will of God because he knows what we need. But then it says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Man, it's going to come right back to this forgiveness thing again. It's coming because in the end of the day, like Jesus is telling us, you guys, you want to have an unstoppable life? You better repent from your sins. You better ask God to forgive your sins. Don't just live with it. Don't just tolerate it. And guess what? And the enemy lied to us too. Hey, you repented about that yesterday. Why don't you just wait a week and pile up 50 of them and repent for them all at once?
Nope.
Hey, you know what? Why don't you just give up repenting? Because you know you're going to do it again tomorrow. But guess what?
I'm still going to repent.
Exactly. Because guess who else knew you were going to do it again tomorrow? Jesus. And he said, pray and ask for forgiveness. Pray and ask for forgiveness. But again, he didn't forget about what he wrote that I talked about 2 weeks ago about forgiveness. So he made sure he puts a caveat there. Because guess what? If you're praying for God to forgive your sins, but you're still upset because so-and-so said they didn't like your haircut, then your prayer is no longer unstoppable. But when you get it right and you start praying the way God wants you to, and you accept his forgiveness, and you pass that forgiveness out to other people, your prayer becomes unstoppable. Last thing, guys, we're getting close to an end here. Keep going.
And don't let us yield to temptations, but rescue us from the evil one.
And then Jesus saves the best for last right there. Because I'm going to tell you what here too, that I've made a mistake a lot of times in my life, is when I've come into temptation. And I've been up against something that I'm like, oh, you're about to fail, Dan. You were about to let everybody down. I have not often stopped in the middle of that moment and prayed and said, God, take this temptation away from me. You want to know the truth? A lot of times I didn't want the temptation taken away because I was planning on enjoying it.
Right.
But it took years for me to wise up and realize that those areas led to death. And it's time for me to repent. And even now, guys, man, like, I'm not trying to get too personal here. I want you guys to still respect me and love me at the end of this. But I'm going to tell you what, like, just a couple weeks ago, I experienced something like this where I was battling a temptation and I was struggling with it. And I'm not kidding you. In the middle of me struggling with that, it was like God showed me, like, this is spiritual, Dan. And I realized in that moment, I'm wrestling with a spirit. This ain't flesh and blood. Like, this is a spirit that I'm actually entertaining and dancing with and thinking, oh, this is a great time I'm having here, guys. And when I realized it, God was like, now what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, Jesus, I plead the blood. I'll get that evil spirit away from me. Get that temptation out of my life. And I'm not just saying it because I didn't tell you what it is.
But I'm telling you right now, like, that temptation left my life. Like, I haven't struggled with that. Like I was a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm not struggling with it as much because God showed me in the middle of it. This isn't just, I was making excuses. Like, I'm just making, this is Dan Tackey. No, I'm not Dan Tackey anymore. I've been bought with a price. I'm a new creature. I'm a new being. What Dan Tackey used to do doesn't happen anymore today. But what I'm feeling tempted for isn't my old flesh. What I'm feeling tempted from is a spiritual attack. And if I'm wise enough to think about what Jesus told me to do and say, let me not yield to temptation, God, but deliver me from this evil that's attacking my life right now. I got the relief that I needed, and so can every one of you. Because when we pray the way Jesus Christ taught us to pray, our prayer is unstoppable, guys.
I have a question, Dan.
Yes.
Did you ask for forgiveness?
Yes, I did.
Yes, amen. I
did. And as a matter of fact, because of what I just preached last week, I searched my heart and made sure I wasn't holding on to some hatred on somebody on some level.
That's right.
Sarah, will you come play for us? I think we got one more scripture up here, and we're going to come to a close. And we're going to practice what I just preached, right? I'm going to practice what I just preached. I want unstoppable prayer, guys. I'm sorry. I'm about to go off on a rant. You might as well get it in before I do.
When you're struggling to pray for somebody, is it okay to slowly and slowly
pray for them? Yeah, and it's okay to keep asking God to help you with that. We are human, guys. Like, don't get me wrong. You have a hard time. Like, if someone came in here right now and busted someone in my family in the head with a baseball bat, it's going to take me a little bit to forgive them. Like, I'm not just going to be like, don't worry about it. Come here, let me give you a hug. Like, I'm human. I'm human, so there's some emotion attached to this. Not even that, like, just people coming up to me like, hey, Dan. Eventually, I'm like, hey, get away from me. My flesh comes out. My flesh comes out. We're human. We're made of this. So, yes, I need to ask God to help me forgive. I need to say, God, I don't want to have hatred in my heart against Dan. I don't care if he did look at me like that. You got to get this out of me, God. I don't want to be angry. You know why? Because I want the blood of Christ to wash over my life. I don't want it to be unstoppable. Last scripture real quick and we'll move on. Will you flip? Yes. There's one more. I think. If I prepared it correctly, there is. Go back one more real quick. And there's not one more scripture on there, Ethan?
We just put 13.
I might not have put it in the slides. I'll read it to you if I didn't. I got it right here on my phone. Let's stand up real quick. Man, why don't you hit the lights? Everybody, let's get ready. We're about to go to the Lord in prayer. I don't know what we've been struggling with over the past couple weeks. I don't know. Like, some of you guys I do. Some of you guys I'm building a good relationship with, and I do know some of the things that you're going through. But you might not have told me everything. For some of you guys that might be going through some things this year, last couple weeks, last couple days, that you're sick of battling. And I was getting ready to go off on a rant before he said that to me, because I'm sick and tired of the enemy stopping our prayers. I'm sick and tired of good people, good Christians, that are praying good godly prayers, not being answered because we're not applying the formula that God gave us to apply.
Right.
So Philippians 4:6-7. Real quick, last two scriptures, and we're going to pray. What does it say, Zane? Read it for us.
Don't worry about anything.
Don't worry about anything, guys.
Instead, pray about everything.
Pray about everything.
Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done.
Very good. Next, last scripture.
Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
That's what unstoppable prayer unlocks in our lives, guys. We can live in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's practice this, guys. Let's practice this going forward for the next week. And let's practice it right now for a couple minutes. We can get out of here on time still, but let's take a couple minutes to pray. Because like I said, you might have something you've been wrestling with for a little while, guys. But now we know how to pray unstoppable. So let's practice it a little bit, guys. Find a place where just